episode 3, Degenerate Minds Podcast. I'm your host, Josh, coming back on short notice from last episode to get our golf expert, Adam Tau, on the line. We also got Denny. Denny, what's up?
Josh, how's it going? Very excited for this episode.
I think we all are very excited to hear the input from the great, self-acclaimed, greatest golf handicapper on the planet, Adam Tau. Adam, what's up?
What's up, bitches?
So, I want to know, why are you considered the best golf capper?
Well, basically from the years of fantasy golf I put in, I finish near the top all the time in season-long standings.
Wait a minute.
Multiple platforms, fantasy golf.
I didn't even know fantasy golf existed.
Yeah, like, how does fantasy golf, like, break it down, Adam? What is it? Is it like you have the same team all year? You pick teams every week?
Well, there's a bunch of different kinds. It depends on where you play. Right now I'm playing in, I guess, three different kind of, like, year-long ones.
Wow.
And in one of them.
Wait up, eh? Wait up. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Sorry, a little feedback there, some honking in the background. Go ahead.
In one of them, you just pick basically who you think's going to take top four every week for, like, every tournament.
And you could just pick anyone, or are they broke down in, like, groups? Or
no, you could pick anyone in that one. But the one stipulation is you're only allowed to pick you can only pick them 10 times total on the year, a single player.
Oh, okay. So you couldn't just, like, you know, pick Adam Scott every week he plays or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And that one's probably the one I'm doing the best in. There, it looks like there's about over 10,000 people weekly that play in that, and I'm in like 105th on the year.
Wow.
So how does that translate to golf capping?
Yeah, can I just
go ahead, Denny. Go ahead.
Let me just add one thing here. So you said you're good at golf capping because your experience in golf, fantasy golf. Does that mean I'm good in every sport I do fantasy sports in? I can cap any sport?
I don't know if you're good at it. I just know a lot about golf in general, and I feel like I cap these guys pretty unreal.
Yeah, that being said, people should know your background. You are an avid golfer. You actually tried to qualify for the U.S. Open. Didn't go too well.
It failed.
This guy follows golf more than anyone I know. I have been at a B-Dubs watching the football games on a Sunday. You know, every TV is just football, NFL. This guy, Adam, asked the waitress to put it on an LPGA event during football just to watch LPGA golf.
This is very similar to Josh's passion for Hong Kong horse racing.
No, no, it's not compared to that. Not at all.
Exactly. So, I don't know. What can I say? I like the game.
And your background as a degenerate, people should know you are a poker player. You're the only one who's actually tried to give gambling a real try as, like, a profession. How did that go?
That's correct.
That's a loose, very, very loose version of what you just said, yeah.
That's somewhat true. I was able to not work for about 7 years.
Because, people should know he won the Sunday Million on PokerStars. And was able to parlay that into 7 years of not working.
That's basically true, yes. Had a couple of successful other winning poker player or, you know, poker strategies type stuff.
People should know, you're the closest thing to a star we're going to get on this podcast. So,
this
guy wins the Sunday Million, then proceeds to win the TLB for that week, tournament leaderboard, which earns him a chance to play heads up versus Fossil Man Greg Raymer for, what was that for? Like $2,500 or something?
Yeah, I think it's just $1,000.
So, and obviously he owned Mr. Raymer.
That's right.
So that's your background as a degenerate.
Aces or kings?
Actually, it was pocket twos.
He did own
it. Was a final hand.
Flop quads?
No. Flop nothing. He shipped. I knew he only had high cards.
That's pretty much how it works.
Even then, you're 50-50, I was going to say.
Not if I put him on exactly ace-king and it came seven high.
Very true. Now,
but whatever, that's a turbo heads-up sit-and-go. Like, it's...
I have a question for Adam.
Go ahead.
Is it true that I ruined your life?
Yes.
Explain. You gotta explain a little bit.
Well, I wasn't even into gambling at all. I meet Denny at college, University of Redlands, freshman year. And obviously, as you all know by now, Denny's been a degenerate long before that. And he had to be going to the casino every night all of a sudden.
Because you were the driver. I didn't have a car.
That's right. That I drove all the time.
And people should know that part of my decision of going to the University of Redlands was because, number one, it was in Southern California, and the proximity to an Indian casino was pretty close. So I met Adam.
Like an hour drive, 2 hour drive? Like how long did this go?
Half hour.
God, I would be broke too.
Spent more time there than in class. That's for sure.
My favorite story about Morongo is how you claim to be able to read the electronic roulette machines, Adam. You would literally study them, and you thought you had a read on them. Is that
talking
right?
Talking about Casino Morongo. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is correct, and I did have a read on them, so I don't care what anyone else says. I'd study that shit for hours, then make my bet, win it.
Okay, so basically, get back to the golf stuff. How does being good at fantasy golf translate to being able to bet golf?
Doesn't really at all.
All right. People should also know I have won prop bets off of Adam involving golf this year.
This guy's running like God against any prop bets this year in golf.
It's pretty easy. Golf's easy to bet, folks. Just
take opposite Adam.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So let's get in the U.S. Open this weekend, Adam. Are you going to be – you're going to be playing DraftKings this weekend. They're big, $200, 300K guarantee. It's called the Eagle's Nest, I think. What's your type of strategy in these DraftKings? Are you, you know, going stars and scrubs? You doing an even bounce team, or what are you doing?
I think I'm leaning towards the even balance team this week, and actually almost every week I've decided that that's the way to play these. When you pay for those stars, you have to have a really good tournament out of them to get their value back. I like more just going with it, you know, even keeled all around the same prize, and with guys who have just as good a chance to win as basically anyone.
Okay, so we'll just start right from the top. Who's winning the U.S. Open this week? Who needs to be on our DraftKings team?
That's two different questions.
Well, no. That will be a different question. Do you need to have the winner to succeed in these DraftKings?
Well, it depends on who the winner is. In general, I would say yes. But, for example, like last week, the guy who won, I'm not sure if anyone owned him.
Okay.
Or he was very low owned.
All right. So another question then, who's winning the U.S. Open?
My pick to win the U.S. Open is Jim Furyk.
Wow. That came out of nowhere. I did not expect that. What are his odds to win?
I don't know.
Jesus. I tell you, you're coming on this podcast. I'm going to ask you golf questions and you don't even know that your pick to win. What's his odds?
Well, like, I don't, futures bets, they, you know, the degen in me wants to bet them, but if you're smart about gambling, it's all, you don't, there's not a lot of value in futures bets. You would more bet them in tournament matchups and stuff. I just looked it up. He's roughly 42-1.
That's the smartest thing Adam's ever said, by the way.
It might be, actually.
Well, I actually know what I'm doing when I try.
Oh, okay.
Or am not a degenerate, so.
Denny, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that I agree with him because you're going to pay a pay a lower vig. And when you don't have an edge, you want to when you don't have an edge like Adam, you want to avoid the futures market, which you always end up paying a higher vig. So I agree, if I'm Adam and I have no edge in golf handicapping, I want to pick tournament matchups.
Okay, that makes sense. So, Adam, let's go switch back to DraftKings. Who is the most valuable player at DraftKings this week? Like, who is the cheapest guy that's going to make the cut and give you four rounds?
Well, I would say the guy with the most value is Stephen Gallagher.
Okay, he's 6,100 out of a 50,000 budget, people should know. And you got to make... You got to have six golfers, you know, within the salary cap. If anyone hasn't played DraftKings, get on it. Daily Fantasy, they got baseball, you know, football during football season, basketball, and golf. Golf's my favorite, personally.
Are we sponsored by them now or something? Why are we plugging them?
I'm plugging DraftKings Golf because I think it's fucking sick.
Jesus, sorry.
So I don't give a fuck what you say, Denny. Yeah. So, all right, Adam. So, Stephen Gallagher.
Yeah, 6,100 is pretty good value. Considering, I'm pretty sure the last tournament he played in, he lost in a playoff to win. It was a European Tour event. He doesn't play that much over here, but.
And U.S. Opens play super hard. The courses play super hard. Why is Furyk your pick? Like, normally, I would think U.S. Open, and you want guys that hit it far.
Well. Actually, in general, Furyk has a really good U.S. Open record, obviously with winning one.
Right.
I will say this. This might be the hardest U.S. Open to cap in a long time. It's basically a completely new course and a very different U.S. Open than normal in the sense that this course has no rough.
Yeah, don't you want guys who can bomb it here? Because, you know, no matter where they hit it, they have an advantage.
Well, I actually think the way this course is designed, I think that this course favors the best short game. Mainly because all these greens, they're built. Imagine if you turned a plate upside down.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what every green is like. It's extremely hard to hit greens here. I think in 2005, Tiger Woods finished second or third. And he led the field in greens regulation at only 44, which was, yeah, that. And like the guy who won, I think he only hit 39, Michael Campbell. He's barely hitting over half the greens, just barely, you know, and that's just the way this course is designed. Now, that being said, it's going to play different this year since there's no rough. And at that time, the course was still more traditional U.S. Open with, thick rough and stuff like that. So I've actually heard some things where there's 100-yard wide fairways here in some places, which you would think would favor the power game, which might be true on certain holes. But I think in general, you want to be able to control your ball more for, what angles you want to attack the pin at and whatnot, attack the green. A lot of times you're probably playing more center of the green on this type of course anyway.
Okay, that's a side strategy I haven't heard so far yet this year, but that's cool. Out of all the stars then, I guess you would say, who is a player that people need to be avoiding this week?
Well, I'm actually going to go out on the limb here, and I don't think Rory McIlroy or Bubba Watson have good weeks. And I'm pretty sure that they're the favorites in a lot of – in everything almost.
Yeah, I don't have the odds up, but I have DraftKings up. Rory is obviously the most expensive.
Are you saying because they're a short game?
For Rory, yes. Bubba, the reason I don't like him is because he likes to work the ball. Which in general can help, but I don't think you want to be attacking these greens with any side spin, which is what the ball would have if it's moving left to right or right to left because of the way the greens are designed. And I'm not sure how strong he is mentally if he starts getting a little unlucky with what he thinks are good shots that end up rolling you know, 30 feet off the green.
Now, how do you feel about Rory McIlroy leaving his girlfriend, his fiance? Now, how big of a douchebag do you have to be to do that?
I actually think it gives him a slight advantage than if he was still going to marry her.
So this is basically, it was a sigh of relief, because didn't he went out and won an event in Europe, right?
Exactly. That's the same week.
That was a slump buster then.
Exactly. Gotcha. He just needed to get rid of her.
She's pretty hot though. She's not.
She's all right. I don't know. Yeah.
I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
No. You'd be gay if you did.
Wow. Okay.
This is going great, by the way.
This is what off track. I'm going to get us back on the golf. Get us back on golf track. Adam, I've been building a couple teams, and basically I just want to get your input on this range of guys. I need one guy, and you just tell me which one you like the best. Patrick Reed, Jamie Donaldson, or Louis Oosthuizen?
Putting him on the spot.
Yes, that's what I do every week to him, and I make him pick.
I would probably go with Oosthuizen there. I don't like Patrick Reed at all. He hasn't played well, basically, since he won the WGC Cadillac. He just had a new baby, took a lot of weeks off and stuff, so...
Okay. That's kind of why I don't like him. I obviously remember from that win, and I just saw that he was relatively cheap.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he's made a cut, actually, since then, or maybe one or two.
He didn't, like, 2 weeks ago when he was on my team or whatever.
Yeah, and then I think he missed last week for sure, and then he also withdrew, like, 3 straight weeks when he was having that kid, so.
So, okay, I'm going to make you go super deep. I know you're going with a more balanced team. But I need a guy less than 5,000, best chance to make a cut. I'll put you on the spot there.
Less than 5,000, huh? Yeah. I mean, you could take a chance with a couple of these amateurs, maybe. You know, another person, this guy would be a flyer, but he could have a high finish, would be... David Gossett.
Okay. How much is he? What's his price?
I'm pretty sure it's low. Let me see here.
Nice prep.
$4,600.
Okay.
Where's Adam Tout on this list?
Yeah, Adam, why can't I pick you? Let's talk about your Open Qualifier.
I tried to get on there. Didn't go great. Played well for a little while.
What's it called when you try and you don't succeed?
Failure?
Step
failure.
One.
Failure. Failure. That's what I call it, anyway.
No comment. No comment.
It's hard to qualify for the U.S. Open. I don't know what else to say.
Okay, let's swing this back. Okay, Denny, did you have any input on golf? I know you're not a huge golf player.
Don't know much about the game. I'm learning since what's fueling my fire is Adam thinking that he knows everything about golf, and I feel like I could do a better job if I spend, like, 10 minutes looking at something or developing a model. So Adam is fueling my fire of learning how to cap golf.
So we could maybe golf model soon?
In the future? Yeah, maybe.
I'm definitely going to make a golf model during the off season.
Adam.
That's 100% sure.
If you get 2+2 correct, I'd be shocked.
Please.
You can't even open Microsoft Excel.
I will have to step up my Excel game. That is true.
So, okay, golf off the table. I want to switch back to Adam trying to give poker a go as a profession, because this is hilarious to me. So,
his attempt at poker is hilarious. Yes, please.
So you win the Sunday Million for whatever, over 100,000. Did you try to play tournaments, or did you play cash games? What did you play? And did you only play online?
Well, I played online for about 2 years after I won the Sunday Million. Basically just tournaments. to be honest, after I won the Sunday Million, I didn't take it as serious as I should have. I basically retired after I won the Sunday Million.
Hold on. Did your dad fire you from your job? Your dad was your boss. Did he fire you?
Yeah, but that was long before the Sunday Million.
Oh, that's right. You're right. You are right. Yeah.
That's what people should know is before I won the Sunday Million, I'd still played poker professionally for 4 years.
Grind and sink goes, right?
Yeah, mainly. I did a lot of different things. But...
Hold on. And then you lost playing sit and goes, and you got down to your last $200, and you entered the Sunday Million, correct?
Not exactly. I never lost. I never lost playing poker. Every year was a winning year. But I didn't necessarily make the amount of money that I needed to, I guess, to keep going. Because then I eventually went back to work for about 6 months before I won the Sunday Million.
All right.
So 2 years after you playing online, and then you decided to move out to Vegas, right?
Well, yeah, because online got completely shut down.
Right, Black Friday.
And
worst day ever.
Exactly.
It still hurts me to think about it.
So then I moved out to Vegas for about 10 months and was giving the live game a try.
And how did that go?
What
stakes were you playing, okay. First of all?
Well, I was actually only playing 1-2 or 1-3 out there trying to be like a low stakes grinder.
And you just didn't have the mental game for that, or you just...
Well, I don't know. I made a decently a decent hourly wage, actually, but that's just... And not the life I want to live is grinding low stakes.
Yeah, that's got to be a tough lifestyle.
It was brutal. I literally hated it. Now, I wish I would have played 2-5 when I was out there, because since I stopped playing poker and started working again, anytime I played, I've been playing 2-5 live or higher, and that's a lot better. And I think there's more money, obviously, with all the stakes. Every stake you go up, you can make more money. So,
why is it better?
I didn't realize it then, but I believe that you get the same types of people, I guess, playing 1-2 or 1-3 or 2-5 in the sense of, where they are financially. But at the 1-2 and 1-3 games, you get like the little tighter guys, trying to take it serious and, this is in general, obviously.
There's more gamblers at 2-5.
Yes. Gamblers are, they all go to 2-5. Low stakes gamblers. You know what I'm saying? You get above that and you start getting into some really good players. But yes, I believe 2-5 is filled with basically just low stakes gamblers, where 1-2 and 1-3 are like low stakes grinders, I guess you want to say, or people who take poker more seriously.
Why didn't you just say
that? That's from my experience.
It took you 5 minutes to say that.
Well, I don't know. That's just the way it came out.
This is podcast gold right now.
It is.
Oh, God. So, Denny, why are you on the podcast today? Adam brought golf. What are you bringing today?
I'm a talent.
You're a talent?
Yeah.
All right. Show some talent.
Comedy talent? Well, how about my comment today about ever since I touted the Pittsburgh Pirates, every day they're stealing value from me. Like, I literally have to quit my job because Pinnacle will open their lines around like 1 p.m., 2 p.m. Pacific time. And like by 4 p.m., like when those lines get hit Vegas, by that time, like all the value in the Pirates are gone. This has happened the last like 4 days. Like, it's ridiculous.
I thought you were betting overnights anyway.
I am. That's what I'm saying, though. Okay, it's the night. I'm talking about the night before.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, I mean, I haven't been tracking the White Sox. I tout two teams, and one of them, I can't even, the Sharps are all over it now. Obviously, they're listening to this podcast. And they're listening to me.
Or whatever.
Well, they listen for you, Josh. You know, you're the fan favorite.
I am the fan favorite, huh?
I know, yeah.
We got tons of emails. Not. People, if you want us to talk about anything,
Well, we talked about the next episode. I think something cool that we could do is we can utilize my my baseball model a little bit. People want to know which is the best lineup out there, or that their favorite team, which lineup order is better than another. I can kind of put that into my model and let you know. So if you hit us up on Twitter, email.
Yeah, Twitter's at Degen Minds. Email is DegenerateMindsPodcast@gmail.com. So let's do it this way. We'll start off this way. If people think there's one change to a lineup they can make to make that team better, send it in. It doesn't matter what team. We'll just do it against, you know, an average pitcher at a neutral stadium. Right, Denny? Is that going to be the best way to do this?
Yeah, if you just give us any type of scenario, you know, pregame, what lineup you want to look at, we can simulate it and let you know.
People, we talked about this like 2 weeks off air. The Rockies threw out a lineup, and me and Adam are big Rockies fans, and we kind of questioned the lineup, and we were like, you know, why not hit? This was before the Rockies were hit with injuries. It was like, why not hit Cargo second? You know, trying to find out the way, and we each came up with a lineup. Denny ran the sim, and it turned out that Will Weiss actually had the right lineup, and we kind of looked like idiots.
It was very slight, but yes, but Walt Weiss had the best lineup according to my model.
So send in your suggestions. My one suggestion would be with the Braves. I can't stand Simmons hitting eighth. It's driving me crazy. BJ Upton's hitting second. He fucking sucks. I don't even know if it should be Simmons hitting second, but BJ Upton should not be hitting second. So that'll be my input. Denny, I want to know what it's like BJ Upton hitting eighth and Tommy La Stella hitting second in the Braves lineup. You can run that sim. We'll get back, you know, next week or whatever.
I like La Stella, and against righties, he's going to do really good. His OBP is going to be like 340.
So he a rookie. He's you know, he's pretty exciting. I'm also a pretty big Rays fan. So Denny, the Mets and the Rockies are not playing good.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? We root for shitty teams.
we do. Adam, you have any input on the Rockies?
I think without injuries, we would easily be one of the top five teams in the league.
You guys have no pitching.
Yeah, because they all got hurt.
Yeah.
Who? We've had four of our five rotation, like optimal rotation guys, have been on the
Jordan DL. Lyles?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a legit number five.
God. He was careering it, if anything.
Okay, like,
we
whatever.
We had Shaheen start the season on the DL. He hasn't been able to get his traction.
Garbage?
He had, like, one of the lowest opponents' average last year, didn't he not?
He would not even start in the Mets rotation.
You're an idiot.
You are an idiot.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Chatwood's been out almost the whole year, and Brett Anderson.
Well, I forgot about Brett Anderson.
What about Juan Nicasio?
No,
yeah, but see, he'd barely be on our team if we had if everyone was healthy. He'd maybe be our fifth starter. But not that Eddie Butler's, or now that Eddie Butler's here, but now he's hurt.
Guarantee the Mets make the World Series within the next 5 years.
The next 5 years, the Mets make the World Series? Is that what you said?
Guaranteed. Wow. I'll put money on it.
All right. Let's set a line here. I don't think there's an actual line for this, so let's set one here.
We have to think about it.
Daddy's saying it's even money.
No way.
He's talking.
Yeah, he guaranteed it.
How about this? Rockies make it within the next 5 years. You take Mets.
I'll do that easily.
Okay, so, like, what, $500 every time it happens, or just one time?
500? Jesus.
What?
That's nothing.
That's nothing, he's
a saying. A five-year bet?
Well, what I'm saying is if the Mets make it two straight years, you'd get 1,000.
Oh.
So, like, it's 500 every time it happens.
Gosh, do you know how much money I have on today's MLB action today?
Well, Denny, we don't have that much. How much do you have on MLB action today? I do want to know, actually.
Like at least $4,000.
Okay. So that's like a legit size prop bet then? $500? So you're going to back me and Adam in the $200 golf this weekend since you don't give a shit about $500?
Yeah,
that's
but
what I hear.
Maybe. I mean, I'm a lot more confident in my baseball than golf.
Okay. Well, whatever. We'll get back to this. People, send in your emails. DegenerateMindsPodcast@gmail.com. Lineup adjustments. Hit us up on Twitter @DegenMinds. Adam is on Twitter @ATout.
That's right.
And Denny, what's your Twitter again?
DennyCaps1.
Did you get any more followers? Probably not.
No.
This podcast sucks. We suck.
you better edit that.
No, I'm not editing that shit. The listeners want to know our true feelings.
We got some feedback.
Please email me that they listen to this thing all the way through. That's why I'm putting this at the end.
What are you talking about? I told you those guys wrote on that forum that this was good stuff.
All right, whatever. Until someone actually emails me, I don't believe it.
We're on iTunes.
We are on iTunes. Leave us a review. Subscribe. We should be on Twitter. Or not Twitter, Stitcher. I'm trying to get it up on there, so... Hopefully this episode will be on Stitcher.
Just don't tell my parents about this, all right?
All right. Adam, thanks for joining us this week. And Denny, we'll talk next week, I guess.
Yeah, great debut for
It was Adam. A good debut for Adam. We were skeptical. We didn't know how Adam would be on this. And I think he pulled through, don't you think?
It was a snooze fest, in my opinion.
I got some questions about Denny's model next week. So
no, ask him right now.
No, we'll bring it back next week. This was good golf centric and just kind of gambling. So we'll bring it back next week with some questions on Denny's model, and we'll see you guys then. Later.